Most of us grow up believing that life is hard work, and we believe that it's important to constantly strive to be a good person, and that it's only through effort and achievement that we can become a good person, that the only way we can possibly become a good person is to regulate our thoughts and emotions. And we have a deep-seated fear that if we do not regulate our thoughts and emotions, we'll go berserk and not be a good person, and what's more, do a lot of really crazy things. And so most of us live all of our lives with a very deep-seated fear that we have to be on guard at all times against our thoughts and emotions, so that we can have certain kinds of thoughts and emotions that will make us into a good person. And so when we first hear that that isn't the only approach to living, it can seem startling. When we first hear that there's nothing that needs to be done about thoughts and emotions, that they don't need to be regulated, that they can just be left as they are, that when we first hear that, it just doesn't seem that that can possibly be the case, because we've spent all of our life trying to regulate our thoughts and emotions. But trying to regulate the thoughts and emotions is like trying to put out fire with fire. It can't possibly happen. There's no way a fire can be put out with more fire. And so what to do? Well, the basic understanding is that within awareness itself, within human awareness itself, all that appears are points of view of that awareness, and awareness itself is the overall view or pure view. And within that, all the points of view that appear are already pure and perfect, as they only are appearances of awareness itself. And awareness is pure and perfect, then the appearances too are pure and perfect, because they're given certain descriptions does not mean that they're not pure and perfect. The descriptions are empty of an independent nature. The descriptions don't have a nature that's independent of awareness. That's just never been the case. So what could be said is that many human beings suffer from gross misperception about the fundamental nature of being human, because all phenomena or all points of view that appear within awareness already are pure and perfect. The self-appearing phenomenon of a human being is also pure and perfect. And this, it just goes so much against everything most of us have trained to believe about ourselves. We just don't believe we could possibly be pure and perfect, and that our thoughts and emotions could be pure and perfect. It just doesn't seem like that could be the case. However, that only seems to be because we've trained ourselves to believe that. We've trained ourselves to believe that that many of our thoughts and emotions need to be changed, and that it's only by changing them, entering into some process of micromanagement of the thoughts and emotions, that we can possibly feel okay about ourselves. And so when we first hear that all we need to do is rest as awareness for short moments, repeated many times until it becomes automatic, it might not make any sense at all. If we hear, oh, we'll just sustain awareness for short moments repeatedly until it becomes continuous. It may not make any sense at all. It may seem way off base. What's going to happen if we just maintain awareness and allow all these thoughts and emotions to be whatever they are? We may be afraid that we'll lose our mind. However, that losing the mind is, it's okay. If what we've taken our mind to be is some kind of robotic device that's always trying to sort through all the thoughts and emotions in order to make sense of them, then it's okay to lose that. We don't need to keep that in place. The natural state of our own being is completely relaxed at all times. It's a state of utter relaxation no matter what's going on. In other words, no matter what kind of thought we're having, what kind of emotion we're having, what kind of experience we're having, what kind of sensation we're having, our natural state of being is pure and perfect, like a perfect crystal ball. And just like within a crystal ball, a pure and perfect, flawless crystal ball, there's nothing but the crystal itself. So too, awareness always has that crystalline clarity, that perfect clarity that can be likened to a crystal ball or likened to the forever flawless, stainless sky. So, you know, it isn't really very complicated to maintain awareness at all, if we just remember the nature of the pure sky, then that's what awareness is. Awareness is pure and perfect, like forever stainless, flawless sky. And it's just like if we look out into the blue sky. The sky happens to be clear today, and we can see that infinite expanse and. The sky isn't divided into parts. There isn't a division anywhere. It's never been fragmented in any way. If we look at one point of sky, it's equal to all other of the expanse of sky. And our mind too is like that. Awareness is like that. It's always completely open and free and sky-like. No matter what's appearing within it, what appears within it is equal to the expanse of sky-like awareness. It isn't some kind of special thing that can make us feel all tied up in knots. And to maintain awareness is simply to just rest the mind completely. No matter what's going on, even if we're having really intense thoughts and emotions or experiences, to just rest the mind completely without any need to further describe what's appearing. Now, many times we've learned to make sense of the world and make sense of life by describing everything. So we might have a thought like, look at her hairdo. Why does she have hair like that? And then pretty soon we're off and running. Well, I wonder who cut her hair. I like it or I don't like it. Or wonder what I'd look like with a hairdo like that. Or you know, whatever it might be. And, you know, whatever that is, it's fine, it's just okay. However, the more familiar we become with awareness, which is the basis of all those thoughts, and the more confident we become in awareness is the basis of all those thoughts, the more awareness is clearly present as the absence of thought in all those thoughts. And so we're not trying to divide things up into thoughts and emotions and awareness. By maintaining awareness, what we come to see is that awareness is the essence and the soul substance, the single substance of every thought. And that rather than there being two states, absence of thought and thought are inseparable from each other, just like the warmth of sunshine is inseparable from sunshine itself. And the upshot of that is that nothing needs to be done about what we're thinking or what our emotions are. And so now you know there are so many ways, so many approaches to helping ourselves in life or to helping other human beings. But when we find that one way of helping ourselves that surpasses all other ways of helping ourselves, then naturally we don't try to use other methods anymore. You know, that becomes our priority. And such is the case, too, if we want to help other people. There are so many ways of helping other people, but when we find the ultimate way of helping ourselves, then we know how best to be of help to other people. So you see, all forms of helping ourselves or helping other people are subsumed in gaining confidence and awareness. When we gain confidence and awareness, then all other approaches are subsumed within that greater category. The greatest of all categories subsumes all other categories within it. And it's just like your question, Adam. There's no reason to reach any kind of decision about anything. That decision is naturally occurring simply by gaining confidence and awareness. Decisions become effortless. We never even think about, oh, I need to make a decision, or what decision will I make, because we gain so much confidence in the reality that decisions are effortless. They're naturally occurring, and perfect decisions occur simply by gaining confidence and awareness, by not buying into or investing in continuous elaboration of thoughts, of continuous story making in which there's no evidence of awareness present. Really believing that all the stories mean something, that believing we are our past, for example. That's a very destructive belief system. If we believe that we are our past, then we believe that every point of view we've had, every thought, every emotion, every experience we've had is who we are. And we believe that that's what our identity is. And so it takes a lot of effort to keep all that in place, all these memories about all the thoughts, emotions, and experiences. And if we really believe that, then we completely lose sight of the pure perfection that's naturally present right here. If we're always referring back to our childhood or our last relationship or 10 minutes ago or whatever it is to try to identify ourselves, then it's very effortful to keep all that in place. But by simply gaining confidence with awareness, which is the source of all thoughts, so the source of all emotions, then we begin to be able to be with all thoughts and emotions in a very relaxed way. And we no longer need to be engaged in this process of enslaving ourselves by our own thoughts and emotions, to our own thoughts and emotions. being a victim of our own thoughts and emotions. There's nothing there to be a victim of, so, yeah. The approach to gaining confidence with awareness is, it's very simple. It's to either rest as awareness in all situations repeatedly until it becomes automatic, just for short moments, whenever you remember to do it. Gradually, there will be more and more awareness, obviousness of awareness every single day. Or to just listen to the talks, and more and more conviction will dawn, or a combination of the two. And so what's already accomplished and already present isn't hard work. The only reason that we may not be familiar with awareness is simply because we've been ignoring it, that's all. Once we're no longer ignoring it and saying, oh yeah, this is who I am, this is what my identity is, then it becomes clearer and clearer, moment to moment. There isn't a destination to get to. There isn't some big blast of awareness where from then on, that's that. For most people, it's just gradually. There's more and more awareness until it's obvious at all times. And so, there's nothing to do. When it's said that awareness becomes continuous or automatic, that what that means is there's no need to sustain awareness any longer, or try to maintain it, or no need to rest as awareness. Awareness is just obvious. It's already obvious. It's only because we've trained ourselves to believe that it isn't obvious. If we've trained ourselves to believe that thoughts and emotions comprise our reality, then that's all we see. Thoughts and emotions constituting reality. And we only see that because we've engaged in a process of thorough training. We've thoroughly trained ourselves to believe that thoughts and emotions are what reality are, that experience is what our reality is. And when we train ourselves to believe that, we can't see the fundamental nature of reality. It doesn't mean that the fundamental nature of reality isn't present, because of course it's already present. It's already accomplished. It's just like perfect personhood is already accomplished. A completely carefree mind is already accomplished. The only reason we may not see that momentarily is because we have bought into the belief system that thoughts, emotions, experiences, sensations are what reality is, that being trapped within the skin line is what reality is, what the fundamental nature of reality is. So we've trained ourselves, just like training anything to do whatever it does, training a dog to do what it does. We've trained ourselves to believe in a reality that is misperceived. So it's as simple as that. And we don't really need to engage in any kind of great philosophical speculation or anything at all about what awareness is or how it is or why we came to have this erroneous perception. We don't need to examine any of that. All we need to do is gain confidence and awareness. Just maintain awareness for short moments. All the greatest philosophical questions are answered by that. by the power of gaining confidence and awareness. To the degree that at some point you're just able to pick up any philosophical book, or no matter what it's about, and understand it completely, or any other book or knowledge. All knowledge is already contained within your very own awareness. And so you're the center of the universe. Your awareness is the center of the universe. And your awareness isn't confined to this right here. The awareness is vast and open like pure and infinite sky. It's never had a location or a residence. It's never been caught up anywhere. It's not been caught up here or there or anywhere. Yet it includes here, there, and anywhere. And so, you know, there's no need to have any kind of fixed idea about anything. For example, it's impossible to sustain the idea of yourself. The idea that you are somebody is an idea you rarely have. Most of the time there's just awareness present without any kind of idea about being somebody. If you really stop and examine it and think about it, how often do you think, oh wow, I am somebody. I really am somebody. Woo, this is great. I am somebody. This is something we rarely think about. It's we're not trying to keep an identity in place. It's just that we have some assumptions and beliefs about who we are based upon what we've learned from other people. But that does not mean we need to continue on in that way. You know, for 26 years, I haven't continued on in that way, and everything's just great. I haven't needed to keep all those painful memories and thoughts and emotions and stories in place in order to have an identity. I haven't needed to toil and effort and engage in ceaseless planning and activity that is overwhelming and stressful in order to have a good life. Those are just ideas that we accumulate. Other people might say to us, oh, well, life is hard. It's supposed to be this way. All these painful thoughts and emotions. This is just the way it is. And get used to it. How many of you have heard that? Well, there's a lot of evidence around that doesn't need to be the case. And so, you know, we hear, oh, life is hard work. If you really want to make it, if you want to have what you need, then you got to buckle down. You got to buckle down and work hard. And if you ever thought you might have a carefree or happy life, forget about it. And so many of us, you know, we grow up having dreams about finding some kind of happiness or well-being. And usually we learn that our happiness and well-being is going to come from outside us, that we're going to find happiness and well-being by being educated and by finding a good job and the right partner and having children and that sort of thing. So we set out when we're little human beings, we start getting our education. We go to school and we hear, when we're still little ones at home, we hear, oh, you're going to go to school and then you're going to learn things and oh, it's going to be so wonderful. Well, so we start school and we say, well, huh, they said this was really going to be great, but it's not. and I really don't like being here. And almost all of us feel that way. We really don't like school. So there's our first great hope is dashed. We go to school, but there's nothing happening there. We really don't like it. And if we like anything, it might just be a few little things like recess or lunchtime or the bell ringing when we can go home from school. And so we think, oh, gee, you know, this education thing isn't what I thought it was going to be, but I have to do it. And I have to do it if I want to get a good job. This is what we hear. And so we have the gold ring out there in the future. We're going to get this good job, and then we're going to be happy. And then, you know, we see the movies and the television shows, and the people are getting married, and we're reading our little storybook. So the people get married, then they live happily ever after. And so we can't wait to have a relationship. This education didn't work out too well, but now we're going to get a relationship, and then everything's going to really be great. And so, you know, we start to check that out at some point, having romantic relationships, and usually there are a few pitfalls in that. Have you noticed that? So, you know, we start to have relationships and they don't work out very well, and we think, oh, that's just because I haven't found the right relationship. So eventually a lot of us, we find a relationship that seems like it's the one. Oh, finally I found it. My life's going to be happy. Here we go. And we're totally in love. We're madly in love with this other person. We know it's always going to be this way. The whole world looks great. It looks fantastic. Oh, we have stars in our eyes and all our enemies. We love them. We love all our enemies. They're not our enemies anymore. We're so happy because we're so in love, and it's always going to be this way. So we decide to be with the person forever, because now we've found our source of happiness. And so we make a commitment. And then pretty soon it's just like school. We want recess. We want to. We start thinking things like, get me out of here. Or, you know, how can I find more space? Or, okay, so what do we do then? Well, we decide, well, this didn't work out either, so let's have a child. We're gonna, and usually by this time we've started working too at some point, you know, and so we see that we're never gonna find permanent satisfaction in work either. And so, you know, it goes on and on and on. And then we have a child, and we think the child's going to be this magical little creature who's, you know, perfect and wonderful, and they'll fulfill all our needs. They'll look at us adoringly every moment of their life and say, oh, mommy, oh, daddy, I love you so much. And that lasts about 5 minutes, and because really the period of time when we feel that about our parents is usually very limited. Have you noticed that? How many of you are looking at your mother and father going, oh, mommy, oh, daddy, I love you so much? Probably quite a few people in this room, but... And so you see, if we keep going along like that without ever saying, well, what's wrong with this picture, then we engage in a series of dashed hopes for all of our life. And so that can be very sad. And what is the remedy? What is the relief? Well, the relief is in the fundamental nature of reality. It's in gaining confidence in that fundamental nature of reality and awareness itself. And awareness itself makes all these other things doable. It makes the undoable doable. All of these things, work, relationships, education, they really feel almost undoable unless we're gaining confidence and awareness while we're participating in them. When we gain confidence and awareness, we become truly capable of love. We become truly capable of being a human being, because perfect personhood is only in gaining confidence and awareness. It isn't anywhere else. And all the answers to everything that ails us lie therein. So if we're looking for those answers, they're all in awareness. The answers aren't in trying to patch together lots of different thoughts and emotions to make sense of things. That's like trying to put together a 10 trillion piece jigsaw puzzle of the blue sky. It's impossible to do. If we're trying to put all our thoughts and emotions together to try to make sense of things, it'll never happen. Has it ever happened? No. It's never happened. Yet, in this instant right here, in this moment of utterly lucid clarity, all questions are answered. And so rely on that. Rely on that that has the answer to all questions. No need to go to any other resource. Once you find the answer to all questions, why go anywhere else? Once you find that about yourself that is completely at ease in all situations, why look to anything else? There are only two approaches to life, and one is to try to regulate experience, and the other is to gain confidence and awareness. So there are only two choices to make. It isn't a rocket science.